Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, 1. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His only people, that you may proclaim Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 1, 17. Ephesians 1, 17. We spend a moment in prayer now before we begin our study. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to be here, to be at this very place, this point of time in history. We believe that you have a reason and a purpose for our being here, and we thank you that we are still alive and that you have a plan and purpose for our lives. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that we're saved by that matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. One day, we do not know just when, for all of us in this auditorium and those who hear my voice in other places, we'll be gone from this life. But we are thankful that you've given us this time. Help us to utilize it properly. Help us to keep our focus clear. Help us to keep our minds directed in the right relationship to our Savior. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. You see it on the screen. Today we deal with the subject spiritual food taken from the Bible and placed in the soul. A magnificent subject indeed. Spiritual food taken from the Bible and placed in the soul. Ephesians 1, 17. We've exegeted this verse in past sessions and looked at it in the first session today. We feel that there are so many things in this magnificent verse, it will be impossible for me to deal with all the various facets of it. So we're just taking out some particular words and using those. The verse begins, in order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and a full knowledge of Him. Today, at this session, we take the word wisdom. We'll see it here on the screen. All of us know how to spell it. You probably even know how to look at these letters of the Greek and see what it is. S-O-P-H-I-A-S, which is the word Sophia, wisdom. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible. I repeat because I feel that's very important for us to put into our thinking. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. All facets of that sentence are important. Wisdom. We'll talk about wisdom in detail in a few moments so that we'll have a better comprehension of what we are talking about when we use the word wisdom. But let's get these preliminary statements first. Wisdom is from God. Learned by studying the Bible. Shaped by the Holy Spirit. God delights to give. In fact, he generously gives and doesn't insult us when we're asking. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. When you think in terms of the essence of God, when you think in terms of the various aspects in relationship to deity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, most of us over the years have learned that there are many characteristics. The essence of God is outstanding. There is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. Probably not a person in this auditorium would not be able to give me those 10 characteristics. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. When you take a look at the altar, you will see in the Holy of Holies, on the one hand, is an emphasis upon the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. When you look, you see on the other side of the ark an emphasis upon the justice of God, the cherubims looking, facing each other. Righteousness on the one hand, justice on the other hand, presenting the holiness of God. God's holiness contains not only justice, but righteousness. Most of us by now are able to see and comprehend that righteousness emphasizes the type of God we have. With all of these characteristics which I've just named, a holy God, a righteous God, pure, impeccable, sinless, who allowed deity too to come to the earth as the God-man, with all those same characteristics on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is humanity. We talked a little bit about that in the session just preceding this one, when we looked at Mary, when she understood, but she didn't understand, that there she is troubled because she's expecting a baby, and she understands, under normal circumstances, two people are involved. And she comprehended that which she could not comprehend, that this was an unusual situation. The Spirit of God tells us in the verse that we looked at in the previous verse, in the previous session, that she was troubled. She analyzed and was seeking to analyze that situation. And God allowed her to see that He was in charge. What we need to see is, in life, we face problems and difficulties and burdens and heartaches and struggles. And we may not understand, but we know that God understands. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything in between. So what He wants us to do is to appreciate the fact that He's giving to us the ability to comprehend, which is beautifully defined in this Greek word, sophia. We may or may not deal with the word phronesis. I may refer to it in a few moments. But when you go into the Old Testament, you will find a Hebrew word, chokmah, which we will not get to today. I had to go through my notes at the break and lay aside things that I knew I wouldn't be able to get to. And so even though it's been sent over to Edie and Mike for the Internet, it'll be on the Internet, but it will not be proclaimed by me, simply because the time will not permit it. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. I trust that I've been able to explain enough about this that you see righteousness and justice. And you see the purpose for which Jesus Christ became the God-man, God incarnate, God in the flesh. You're able to see that on the one hand, a righteous, holy God and an unrighteous, unholy, sinful mankind, men, women, boys and girls, cannot get together. Something has to happen to make it possible for them to get together. On the other hand, justice says sin has to be paid for. On Wednesday night, we're going to talk about God doesn't sponsor sin. We're going to talk about the subject of sin. But anyway, justice says sin has to be paid for. So what we see here is, in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead discussed this matter, I believe, and Deity One said, you know what, for mankind to be saved, there's going to have to be someone who can pay the penalty, the total price, remove the sin wall, so that God and man can get together. Justice says sin has to be paid for. Righteousness says man and sinful mankind and God cannot have harmony with each other. And so it's beautiful to see that Deity too left heaven's glory, went to the cross, and in my mind's eye, here's what I see. And I know I'm putting this in human terminology, but I see, in essence, the hand of God, and that, of course, is an anthropomathism. I can't even get into all that now. I want you to see that there's the hand of God, putting that in human terminology. And here we are, and we're reaching up, in essence, and here's His hand, and here's our hand, and we cannot get together. Sin has to be paid for. And so what we see is the cross and Jesus dying on the cross for us. And so, in essence, and this is human terminology, God reaches down and takes the hand of Christ, and Christ reaches down and takes your hand and mine and puts us together. Y'all see the mental picture that I'm trying to paint? That's described so beautifully by Hebrew words and Greek words. And we're seeing it here. Wisdom, Sophia, is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. Wisdom is the art of being successful. Wisdom is found in no other person than the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in any human rational thought. What the preacher desires from himself and for you is that we move away from continuation of human thought and have divine thought, vertical comprehension. That is impossible apart from us doing what we do here all the time, and that is be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and study His thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wisdom is the art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. You put it down, what has been on our side needed, on His side has been provided. God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. We were talking a few moments ago at the break. Someone commented about my brother passing away. I realize that memory tells me that A lot of fantastic things have happened between my brother and myself over the years. A lot of fantastic things have happened between my mother and dad, Joyce's mother and dad. Memory is sweet and wonderful in relationship to our relationship through the years. It's amazing to me that God provides what is necessary as we face death of a loved one, as we face the trials and tests and perplexities of life. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. I love that thought. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Many of you are going to remember this one, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all unreservedly and not reproaching, and it will be given to him. Look at that verse, if you will, and I repeat, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, this God who gives without reservation. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh my, are you seeing those words? Now I would enjoy preaching on each one of those, but of him are you in Christ, and you're in Christ Jesus. Have you heard me say this? Yes. You've heard me say this many times over the years. When you get into the scripture in the original language, you will find words like Christ Jesus. You will find words like Lord Jesus Christ. Is it accidental that it's that way? No. It's not accidental that it's that way. Most of us by now understand that when you get to the word Kyrios, Lord, it means that he's the ruler, the controller of everything. Lord, Kyrios. When you look at the word Jesus, Jesus, it emphasizes his humanity. When you look at the word Christos, it emphasizes the fact that he's the appointed one. He's the anointed one. Now, what is so fantastic is when you see all three of those words side by side, Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you find only the word Yesu, Jesus. But look what we have here. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. In that order. Not Jesus Christ, not Jesus, not Jesus Christ the Lord, but Christ Jesus. Why is it? Christ is the fact, emphasize the fact, that he is the anointed one. He's the appointed one. We go all the way back to eternal ages past and we see what I mentioned a moment ago, that deity one, in essence, said, someone has to go down and die for the sins of the world. And deity two said, the pre-existent Christ said, I'll become the existent Christ because I'm the eternal Christ. And that's what he did. Christ, the anointed one, the appointed one, and there's Jesus, the humanity. Who of God is made unto you, unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Are you able to see that the word is Sophia? Please write this down in your mind, if not on paper. S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia. Wisdom. When you go to the book of James, here's what you read. But the wisdom, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. You could preach for hours on that. You could see this passage of Scripture and analyze it from the original language And Michael, I'll tell you, this is a magnificent verse. Well, they all are, aren't they? But look at this. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, without hypocrisy. Most of you remember this. Because I'm such a magnificent preacher, tongue in cheek, did you hear that? No one laughed. I was just wondering if you were going to laugh. But I remember that some weeks ago, I presented Ephesians 1:8. And I was just being facetious, but I was saying, jokingly, that since I'm such a good preacher, all of you remember everything I said when I dealt with Ephesians 1:8. But I know better than that, so I think it's necessary for me to repeat. The literal translation of Ephesians 1:8, in essence, says, right thinking will result in right living. Right thinking will result in right living. One of the goals that I have for myself and one of the goals that I have for you is that we think properly so that we can live properly. If we're not careful, we're going to be distracted because that's what Satan's all about. We understand that God wants us to live inside of this power sphere, which is magnificent. All of us are aware of the fact that that is a system that is wonderful because it deals with all of these facets that makes life really worthwhile. There's an understanding of being restored to fellowship and the understanding of what humility is all about. And it's an understanding of what perception is all about. It's a presentation of what our relationship to God is all about. It's a presentation of what our relationship to companion is all about. It's an emphasis upon what our relationship to our friends is all about. And then it takes us all the way around and it gets to a big word, the pinnacle, the apex, and it's the word charis, which is the word for grace or joy or happiness. Right thinking results in right living. I quoted this in the previous verse. I repeat now, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But what does this verse say? Ephesians 1:8. From which grace He, God the Father, emphasizing the passage we dealt with in this session and in the morning, the first session, which is God the Father of glory. From which grace He, God the Father of glory, has caused to superabound toward us, which is this echo's own life living inside that divine power sphere, by means of all biblical concepts and divine viewpoint. And now, instead of the word wisdom, Sophia being used, it is the word P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S, phronesis, which simply means more than wisdom. Wisdom is to abound, but this word means to superabound. It's like being in an airplane, let's say a jet, and you're at the beginning stage of the plane and you all taking off, and you feel the engine, and you feel the vibration of the plane, and you're aware of the fact that you're getting ready to take off. But let me tell you something. You're still on the ground. But then the brakes are released, and that thing begins to roll, and that's when you find me trying to lift the plane off. I mean, I've got my back. I shouldn't say it that way, but I got my back end kind of lifted up a little bit because I want to be sure that we get airborne. And then I'm watching out the windows. And we're still okay, but anything could happen at any moment now. Let's get a little higher. And we increase our altitude, and then I breathe more easily. Spiritually speaking, a lot of us don't get airborne like we should. And that's sad. This word, phronesis, means to superabound, which emphasizes that God has given us now more than enough. In other words, what we ought to see is that God has removed us from the slave market of sin and now has given us the ability to view things from a divine vantage point, which means that we now have increased capacity. I realize the time goes by fast when I'm having fun, but I want you to see how God wants us to remain airborne with capacity. I'm going to go rapidly. You'll have to hold your hat. What is it that fills the empty soul? It's sad to say that many people are believers, but they have an empty soul. An empty soul. I almost want to cry when I think about this, because people don't need to live with an empty soul. You don't need to live with an empty soul. And I'm not saying you are, because I don't know. But I do know this, that we have to have capacity. And capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. Quickly, capacity means that we move from the instability and insecurity to stability and security. A lot of people are insecure, unstable. But as we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. Let me move rapidly. Number three, this capacity knocks away the roadblocks. And there are many roadblocks in life. It could be husband or wife or family, or it could be children. It could be relatives. It could be whatever. It could be finances. It could be home. It could be material things. Notice, if you will, capacity begins to knock aside, remove those roadblocks. Capacity means that the priorities are straight. We're now looking from a divine viewpoint, not from a horizontal viewpoint. Number five, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveal that we're occupied now with Jesus Christ preeminently. Wow. I need to go over this 100 times with you for us to just reminisce it, because we need it so desperately. Number six, capacity is a result of occupation with Christ and absolutely nothing else. You talk about asking for something there. That's amazing. You mean God is saying to me that I should be totally occupied with Him? Number seven, consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. If you and I are living according to God's plan every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again on Sunday, consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. Number eight, neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from the blessed are to the blessings. Now, all of us are blessed. I am blessed. Joyce is. We're blessed that we're able to be here. I mean, this week we had our annual doctor's appointment. It's such an enjoyable experience. Because when you go once a year, you have the EKG and the bone density and the blood tests. Could I name all the rest of them for you? Boring, isn't it? And then you come home wondering, how are all those reports? And you know that other things have happened to us in recent days. If we're not careful, we can get our attention on the things of the earth. So human, isn't it, for us to be human? Notice, if you will, and I need to back up, just let you see this again. Neglecting Bible study results in the focus being moving from the blessar to the blessings, or the problems and difficulties in life. Number 9, love for the blessar will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. Now, I realize that that just could go to you and then you won't remember it. But let me say it again. Love for the blessar, the Lord Jesus Christ, will cause the blessed, that's us, to enjoy the blessings. It doesn't mean that we're enamored with our blessings. It doesn't mean that our possessions possess us. It means that we have the ability to see and appreciate the blessings, but our emphasis is still on the blessar rather than the blessings. You see it? Love for the blessar will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. Now, you folks don't realize this, but I'm almost through. Number 10 is the last point. Look at it. Our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. A lot of people have a lot of things, but they're miserable because their emphasis is in the wrong direction. Our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order that you and I can enjoy the content of the blessings with a focus still on the blessar. That's capacity for life. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize how great it is for us to think about these things and how important it is. Help this to be not just words or thoughts, but actually become a reality in our lives. And as we close the service today, again we say to those who never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, if they could do that right now. The Bible is so beautiful and so right when it tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Oh, how fantastic that is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us that Jesus is the way of salvation. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. We thank you for that. We can never work enough. No matter what we would do in life, there's no way that we, by the energies of the flesh, could ever lift ourselves into your presence. So we're not even to think about it that way. We're to accept what you've provided for us, and that's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that even at this very moment, there will be many who will accept you as their own personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed. Nailed
tree. Christ our God, spilling His holy blood, bowing in anguish, His sacred head. Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts. He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name. Sing to Jesus, honor